Tonight, we've come back to this passage of Scripture that we've been in three different times in the last few weeks. We've talked about the prayer that Jabez prayed, and I would have you look down at the end of verse 10. We read it a minute ago, and God granted him that which he requested. He prayed this prayer, and God answered the prayer and gave Jabez exactly what he asked for. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. God, I want you to work in my life in a supernatural way. I want you to do something in me, through me, with me, that I can't do myself, that only you can do. And enlarge my coast. I don't want your blessings for my glory or my gain. I want it so that I can do more for your kingdom. I want to see more people come to know Christ. I want to see more Christians that live lives pleasing to you. That thy hand might be with me. Make me dependent on you. Let me wade out deeper so that I know that I need you. Let me go higher so that I have to trust you. And then that last phrase that we'll look at tonight, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. You might think with God working in Jabez's life like he is that the prayer would have been, keep me through evil or help me endure evil. And sometimes that's what we need. We get into situations, most of the time through our own doing, where we need God's help to get out of the situation that we put in. But the wiser prayer is the prayer that Jabez prays here when he says, keep me away from evil. Keep me from evil. Jesus taught the same thing to his disciples when he gave them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And lead me not into temptation. I know that Holy Spirit will give us the power to get out of it once we get into it and to help us resist it. But Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us and deliver us from evil. Keep us out of it in the first place. Sometimes we have to fight sin in our life. Sometimes we have to resist. But how much better it would be if we just stayed away from it, if we asked God to keep us away from evil. So tonight, simply and quickly, I have 3 points. Number one, Satan will fight people like Jabez. Satan will come after folks that are getting God's blessing, folks that God is enlarging their coast, folks that have God's hand on them. Because you see, people like that are messing up Satan's plans. Everything God is for, Satan is against. Everything God wants to happen, Satan doesn't want to happen. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. Satan doesn't want anybody to be saved. His desire is that nobody, first of all, hear the gospel. If they hear it, they'll ignore it, or else they'll put it off to another later date. And his desire is that nobody gets saved, nobody comes to Christ. I often thought that if I got saved for no other reason, and I got saved because of the love that Jesus had for me. I got saved because I couldn't resist that love. But the more I understood what Satan was all about, I thought one day, you know, if I didn't get saved because Jesus loved me, I'd get saved just to spite Satan. I'd get saved just to make him mad. I'd get saved just to sort of kick him in the gut. You heard that story I've told you before about what D.L. Moody said about, or Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday said this about the devil. He says, as long as I have strength in my fist, I'm going to beat him as much as I can. As long as I have strength in my feet, I'm going to kick him for all I'm worth. As long as I got teeth in my mouth, I'm going to bite him every chance I get. And when I lose the strength in my hands and I lose the strength in my feet and all my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum them for all I'm worth. And that's the way we ought to feel about Satan. I mean, his desire is that nobody come to know Christ and nobody get saved. And the second part of his plan is if he loses souls, if he loses people to Jesus Christ, he wants to mess up a Christian's life. He wants to destroy their testimony. He wants to get them into things that they shouldn't be in, keep them out of things that they should be in. He just wants to mess up their testimony so that they can reach nobody else for Jesus Christ. That's Satan's plan. That's Satan's desire. Everything that God's for, he's against. And somebody that prays the prayer that Jabez prayed, Lord, I want you to bless me in a supernatural way. I want you to give me more responsibility so I can do more things for you. I want your hand to be upon me because I have to depend on you. I can't do it on my own. Somebody that prays that prayer, somebody that God answers that prayer for, I guarantee you tonight, Satan's going to come after. He's going to attack. He's going to try to undermine. He will not sit idly by. He will come after you. He will tempt you to sin. He will attempt you to get into evil because he knows that if evil gets into our heart and into our mind, it will come between us and God. It will come between us and our Savior. And so that's what his plan is. That's what he wants to do. Most of us are Christians here tonight. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to mess up your testimony. Don't let him. Don't let him. So he's going to attack. Point number two, one of the most vulnerable times in our lives for Satan's attack is after a great victory. After a great victory. After God has blessed us, after God has worked in our life, after God has done something supernatural that we know that only he could do it, it's usually after those times that Satan comes and we're the most vulnerable to his attacks at that time. Think about Noah. 100 and some years building the ark. Did exactly what God wanted him to do. Saved the animals. Saved the 8 people, including himself, that were on the ark. And then he got off the ark, and remember what happened? He got drunk. He planted a vineyard, got drunk, causing one of his sons to sin. After that great victory of seeing God work in a mighty way and save the world, so to speak, Satan came after him. And again, one of the most vulnerable times in Noah's life. And he fell to that temptation. David, when did he commit his great sin? After he'd won several battles in a miraculous way. After God had used him to lead the nation of Israel to defeat nations that were bigger than Israel, that were more mighty than Israel, in a miraculous way, God used David to lead the army. And again, he was at a place where he shouldn't have been. He should have been out with soldiers in the field, but he was at a place where he shouldn't have been. He looked at something he shouldn't have looked at. He pursued something he shouldn't have pursued. He was the most vulnerable after the times that God has blessed him. Peter. The one we talked about in Sunday school this morning. When Jesus was with the disciples, he asked the question, who do men say that I am? And they answered, well, some say you're Elijah or one of the other prophets. And then he asked the disciples, well, who do you say I am? And it was Peter that stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're blessed because you didn't come up with that on your own. My Father revealed that to you. That very same setting, in that very same setting, Jesus began to describe what was going to happen. How he's going to be arrested. How he's going to go to trial. How he was going to be crucified. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He said, no, master, we're not going to let that happen to you. Don't talk like that because we are not going to let that happen. And Jesus said to Peter, after Peter had stood just a few minutes before and confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't savor the things of God, but the things of man. We are the most vulnerable after God uses us in a supernatural way. We are the most vulnerable when he enlarges our coast. He is the most vulnerable when we put our faith and trust in him and lean on him and depend on him. Satan doesn't like it. He's going to attack and he's going to come after us. He's going to tempt us. Jabez knew that. And so he prayed the fourth part of this prayer. Keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. And then point number three, evil will grieve. It will grieve. The word grieve means pain. Jabez says, that's how I started out in my life. My mother named me Jabez because she thought I caused sorrow.
Again, we don't know the story why. We don't know if it was a hard childbirth or what the problem was. But his name means pain, or one that causes pain. And so Jabez prayed, keep me from evil, that it grieve me not. Now, evil grieves. And actually, I have 6 points tonight because I have 3 subpoints under this point, but I'm sort of going to sneak it in on you. Evil grieves us. It grieves us. Once you've tasted the blessings of God, once you've had your coast enlarged, once you have God's hand upon you and you are depending and trusting Him, you're not going to be satisfied living any other way. If you back up from there, if you surrender to Satan, if you take a step backwards, you're going to lose something that will, and you don't want to live like that. It happened to David when he committed that sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. He took a step backwards. He lost the blessings of God upon his life. He lost the hand of the Lord upon him. It caused David so much pain that he went to God and he prayed, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. When we're serving God, when He's working through us in a supernatural way, doing only what God can do, when He's enlarged our coast and give us more people to reach for Christ and more people to serve for Christ, when we feel His hand upon us and we know that He's there giving us what we need to serve Him, to step back from that position is to lose our joy and to cause us grief. It grieves us. That's why Paul always says, I don't want to go backward. He said, I forgot the things in the past. I want to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I don't want to ever get satisfied with where I am. I want to keep moving higher. I mean, putting it in the analogy of the story I told at the end of my message this morning, Paul said, hey, I not only want to find a slide with 20 steps, I want to find one with 30. And then I want to find one with 40. And then I want to find one with 50. I want to keep going higher. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The more that we want to do for God, the more God will bless us and enlarge our coast. And the more His hand will be with us and we'll feel His presence. And we won't want to live any other way. I guarantee it. We won't want to live any other way. Getting into evil will grieve us. Number two, it'll grieve others. If you let Satan attack, and he will attack, and you fall to temptation, and your witness is marred, it will cause other people grief. It will cause other people pain. They'll look at you. Maybe you're the one that brought them to Christ. Maybe you're the one that introduced them to Jesus. And they'll look at your testimony and they'll say, well, maybe this thing's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe it's not all what it seems to be. Maybe there's something about it I don't understand. So many times when people step back from God and they step back from doing what God wants them to do, they think, well, it's not going to affect anybody else but me. It's not going to impact anybody else for me. It will affect no other person's, no other Christian's life, no other Christian's walk but mine if I step back with God, step back from God. And that's wrong. That's wrong. There are people watching your Christian walk. There are people that have their eye on you. You may not know it. You may not know it. I mean, you may not know that that person is watching you, looks up to you, respects you, and is watching how you live your Christian life so that they know how to live their Christian life. And if you take a step backward away from God, if you take a step backward from your service to God, it will cause that person sometimes to fall. It will cause that person sometimes to take a step back and their walk with God. I've told you several times, whenever I'm tempted to take a step back, Whenever I'm tempted to lessen my faith in God, I always think about the impact it'll have on other people. I think, first of all, about my kids. What would it do to my two children? The past 7 years or so, I've thought, what will it do to my grandchildren? If Grandpa takes a step back, if Grandpa keeps serving the Lord, what would it do to those two little boys that call me Pa? Pretty soon there'll be a little girl. I don't know what she's going to call me. I hope she calls me the same thing so I don't have to remember more than one thing. But pretty soon I'll add her to my list. What will it do to her? I think about the kids that have grown up in this church. Some of the, you know, when you keep a pastor around as long as you've kept me around, some of your children, I'm the only pastor they've known. I'm the only pastor that they've heard preach week after week after week. And I think about those children that have grown up in this church, and every time Satan tempts me to take a step back, I say, what's it going to do to them? How's it going to affect their Christian walk? What are they going to think about their pastor? And then I think about all of you. You that have given me your trust, you that have given me your love, you that have come week after week after week after week and hear my feeble attempts to preach, pray for me, love me, what would it do to you? I told you before, they always used to tell us when we worked for General Motors, they said, never do anything that you would be ashamed to be on the front page of the paper the next day. I got the little Birch Run paper. We put an ad in that paper, and so we get a free copy that's mailed to the church. And Bill, you wouldn't believe it. They had a picture in the paper of the day of prayer, and there was Adam. And I came in this morning. I said, Adam, I'd like your autograph. He said, what for? I said, well, your picture's in the paper. I've never seen your picture in the paper before. And I was just teasing him. But that's my point. Never do anything that you wouldn't want to be on the front page of the newspaper the next day, because other people may never know, but your God knows. Your God knows. So it grieves you. It grieves others. Number three, it grieves the Holy Spirit. That part of God that lives in each one of us, that was sent to be our comforter, that was sent to be our encourager, that was sent to be our teacher, that was sent to help us pray when we don't know how to pray. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And when we step back from God, when we fall to temptation, when we lessen our faith in God, how the Holy Spirit grieves. How he grieves. And so Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from evil, that it not grieve me, that it not grieve others, that it not grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that prayer. I know some of you have told me the last couple of weeks that you've prayed for God to enlarge your coast, and you've shared things that he's already beginning to do it. Had a couple people tell me after the service this morning, Gene and Stryer were one of them, as they went out, and I had several other people tell me, well, that message was for me because the hand of the Lord needs to be on me. Well, go ahead and pray the fourth part of that prayer. Satan's going to come after you. Lord, keep me from evil, that it grieved me not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just these two little short verses that you put right in the middle of all these genealogies, all the begats and the begots. And you told us about Jabez. You told us about the prayer that he prayed. I pray, Father, that we would pray like he did, that we'd want your blessing on our life. We'd want you to expand our scope of ministry, enlarge our coast. We'd want your hand upon us because we know we can't do it by ourselves. And Father, we want you to keep us from evil. I thank you that you've protected us as a church. You've blessed us in a mighty way the last 6 months, and you've protected us from evil. I pray you would continue to do that. I pray we continue to be the people and we be the church that you want us to be. And Father, I pray tonight if there's even just one person here that's never received Christ, I pray that as they've said through the singing and through the testimonies and through everything that has taken place tonight, that they've seen a people that love God. They've seen a people that have been loved by you. Father, to help them to understand it's all because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary and what he did for them on Calvary. And I pray tonight you'd help them see their sin, help them see the penalty of that sin. You'd help them see the price that Jesus paid and help them to understand that he offers to them as an individual, the gift of eternal life. And again, if there's just one person here that hasn't received Christ, I pray tonight would be the night that they do it. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.